strength is gone. You're the one who calls me on. You are the life, you are the fight that's in my soul. Oh, your resurrection power burns like fire in my heart. When waters rise, I lift my eyes up to your throne. I will sing into the night. Christ is risen and on high. Greater is he living in me than in the world. No surrender, no retreat.
Welcome back to our second hour of Living the Good Life. We started it off with More Than Conquerors by Ren Collective, a new favorite group of mine, by the way. This is Associate Pastor Jim Ellsbury from Beacon of Hope Ministries, welcoming you to our second hour of Living the Good Life. I'm joined today by Betty Thomas and Megan Kramer from all the way from Indiana. Welcome again, ladies. Good to have you on the show.
Thank you,
DJ. You're welcome. Always good to have you on the show. And Betty, if you could just fill us in a little bit on the prayer ministry. You were talking before the break about being called to be an intercessor. And God's placed you in a pretty good position for that with the prayer ministry here at Beacon of Hope.
Yes, it's always a blessing to be able to pray for someone. Standing in the gap for them is something that I think you and I do and get pure joy from doing it, is that if you have a request that a prayer that you need help with or you need someone to agree with you, send it to bohmglobal.com. And when we get that prayer request, it goes out to the prayer warriors of Beacon of Hope. We type a prayer and send it along with your request to those prayer warriors. We take those prayers to the throne of glory, and we ask God to help us with this. And he does everything in his power to perform his word, because his word is power. And we have that power because it does in Romans 8, we are more than conquerors through Christ. And this is one of the greatest things we can do, is communication with our Heavenly Father. And if you want to even be a part of the Prayer Warrior team, send a request to Pastor Marcia or Pastor Jim or myself to bohmglobal.com, and we would be more than glad to add you as a prayer warrior to our team.
Amen. And when your prayer gets answered, please let us know that also, because I keep track in a little subfolder in my Outlook or in my little Hotmail account of all the praise reports, all the answered prayers that we get back, because, you know, that gives us a time when we can look back and say, look at what God's done. Look at what the Lord has done in the lives of us and other people. You know, we've seen people healed physically, healed spiritually, healed emotionally. We've seen financial miracles, miracles of safety, protection. You know, God is so good. God is so wonderful.
Have you noticed, though, Pastor, how it just seems like almost, I don't want to say immediately, but how quickly the Lord is working, how quickly these answers and these praise reports are coming back. I think the one I can remember is that, you know, someone was seeking was looking for temporary work, and within just a few days they had permanent work.
Mm-hmm.
How quickly that the Lord works in these areas of our lives, and how faith building that is to see a prayer go out and then have a praise
and then,
come in.
It's just, exactly. To know that God is moving. It's an amazing thing, and it is faith building. And, you know, we have a God who builds us up and doesn't tear us down. You know, that's what's great. And just, again, getting back to what we were talking about in the first hour, just like he did with Gideon, you know, sometimes we think, at least in our humanness, you know, okay, Gideon, you already asked for one sign with the fleece, and you want to do it again? You know, God didn't jump all over him for that. God graciously gave Gideon the signs that he needed. And he even offered another one when he knew Gideon was afraid. He said, go down into the camp. Listen to what they're saying. And sure enough, Gideon was encouraged and did find the courage. You know, he worshiped God, and he was strengthened to do God's will and to overcome the Midianites. And, you know, we've been talking about how that applies to us individually, in that we are, because of what Jesus did on the cross, we are, as Betty said earlier, quoting Paul, more than conquerors, quoting, again, you know, the song from Wren Collective, we are more than conquerors through Christ. But again, it's, and I think some people say, I'm more than a conqueror. You have to remember the second part of that verse. We are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. I'm not more than a conqueror. Okay? On my own, I am not more than a conqueror. I'm just, you know, I'm kind of a failure. But I am more than a conqueror through Christ who loves me. You know, I can be victorious, but it's through Christ who loves me. You know, one of my pet peeves is people quote like half a scripture and leave the other half off. Because so many of these promises, there's little conditions attached that are things we need to know. Okay. Betty, Megan, a comment on that.
Well, you know, I absolutely love Wren Collective. Their songs are so empowering. It's just amazing how it can get you pumped up about the Lord. But, you know, we all are conquerors through our Lord, because I can contest to that, because having a child pass away 33 hours after life is something I never thought that I would mentally or physically have to go through, and nor would my family have to experience that as well, and to see my husband and I and our son Andrew go through that as well. But through that experience, it's amazing how we conquered the situation because of him, because the Holy Spirit was there, his presence was there in the hospital. If he wouldn't have been there, it would have been a totally different experience. And the way that I know that he was there was because of the strength and the courage that I had during that time. It was amazing to see him working. And it's just, I wish people could understand how simple it is to be a conqueror when you're with the Lord, when you're walking with the commander. It's just, it's nothing that's complicated. But I think sometimes that our heads get in front of our hearts, and we lose sight of how simple it truly is. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm right there with you on that one, because I think we tend to make even the gospel too complicated, or we can't accept the simplicity of the gospel, I think is more what I'm,
amen.
You know, or the simplicity of the Christian life. I mean, I've talked about this before, but so many of like the cults put so many things between us and God. Okay, there's that one group that hands out those magazines all the time, and you have to witness your way into the kingdom. Okay, you have to spend so much time doing these works in order to be saved. You know, that's foolishness. Okay, because there's nothing. And, you know, for by grace you were saved through faith. And it's not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. You know, that's probably one of the hallmark of any of the cults or the false religions, is there's always something else that has to happen between you and God, you know, for you to get to God. And yet, in biblical Christianity, there's nothing. Jesus already did it. There's nothing except for you to say, I believe. And know that God's already done it because of what Jesus did on the cross. There's nothing to stand in the way of you getting saved. You don't have to work your way into the kingdom. In fact, you cannot work your way into the kingdom. You cannot witness your way. You cannot, and I tread lightly here, but you cannot pray your way into the kingdom. You can say prayers till your face turns blue, and it still may not do you any good. Because,
I think, Pastor Jim, you were talking about simplicity.
Mm-hmm.
The simplicity of John 3:16 simply says it all. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And it's just, it's a few words that you speak that get you to be where you are today, is through Christ who strengthens you. That Christ, he died. I mean, it's simplistic. It's, in some aspects, it's tragic to have to lose your only son. But if you believe in him, you will not perish, but you'll have everlasting life. And that's what you all have been talking about, the alignment, is getting back into the alignment of God. That it can't get any more simplistic than that. Do you think, Pastor Jim?
Oh, absolutely. It's, the gospel's not complicated. The Christian life is not complicated. It's just acknowledging, and I would add, in a lot of cases, verbalizing what God's done for you. You know, that's why we, Beacon of Hope, we encourage people, get a Bible, get into the Word, because there's so many promises in there, and you don't know who you are until you see yourself as God sees you. And I know we've talked on the Friday nights when we've talked about all-out alignment with God. A good part of that is saying about yourself, believing about yourself, what God says and believes about you. You know, God in the Bible, and I go back to Colossians. You know, he talks in Colossians chapter 2, verse 11, when you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not with a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life when you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. There's all sorts of promises just in those couple of verses for us to believe in. You know, my sinful nature has been cut away. Everything I inherited from Adam has been cut away. And I can, you know, I can believe that, and I can say, you know what? My flesh is dead. I can quote Romans chapter 6. I have been crucified with Christ. Okay, my old man is dead. Galatians 2:20, for I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Okay, that's the promises that we need to hang on to and believe that, first of all, the old man, everything that we inherited from Adam, our whole sinful nature, was nailed to the cross with Jesus. Okay, we know that Satan was defeated, but I don't think often enough we think we remember that all that we inherited from Adam was also nailed to the cross. And not only that, but going on in Colossians, just going on from where we were at in like verse 2:13, you were dead because of your sins, and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ. Okay, so there's another promise right there. I'm not dead anymore. I'm not spiritually dead. I'm alive. For he forgave all our sins. Note all, not just some. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them in the cross. Wow, right there, we've got so much. He canceled all those debts. It's like, you know, it's like somebody had written down a ledger of every sin we had ever and would ever commit. And Jesus canceled it. It nailed it to the cross. I love that line in the song, It Is Well With My Soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this wondrous thought. My sin, not the part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. Jesus took all that stuff, and it says he canceled it. That Greek word there means he just obliterated it. He basically, in the Greek, it means he used Comet Cleanser on it, scraped it off the paper so it's no longer even there. He cleaned it off. He obliterated it. And in that way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. Satan likes to accuse us, and yet he's got nothing to accuse us about, because all of our sins have been wiped out by the blood of Jesus. They've all been wiped out. They've all been canceled. They've all been taken care of. And Satan has no grounds of accusation. Not a single ground of accusation for us. Which leads us into our next song, Greater by Mercy Me. Amen. That is such a great song by Mercy Me. And I love that line in there. You know, I'm learning to run freely because I know how he sees me. That little line in there. That is so true. And that's what I had to discover. Remember, I was talking earlier about my kind of works-based salvation. I had to find that out, that, you know, I can run freely in him because I know how he sees me. He sees me perfect, even though I know I'm not and I still mess up. But that's okay. All I have to do is confess it. It's gone already. It's gone. I just have to accept that. You know, praise God for that. So, wow. I just love that song. and it fits in with what we're talking about. Again, that song is just one big confession about what God's done for you, you know? And it's a great one. I know when it comes on the radio, I'll turn it up in the car and hope my neighbors...
Oh, absolutely.
You know, hope the neighbors, you know, next to me in the cars can hear it, and I'll sing to them.
Right. I was, when you played that, I muted my phone because I was singing and dancing. I love that song. I love that song the first time I heard it. But it's so true that, you know, it doesn't matter because grace has already won the war. And, you know, we can do a multitude of things, but we are always forgiven. And it's funny because I've had people say to me before, well, how did you do what you did, but yet you're the way you are now? And it's like, well, it's because of the grace of God, because I'm forgiven. And, you know, it's just reading this, what you did at the scriptures of what the cross represents. That's why that mom keeps saying you're being brought back to the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Lord wants to simplify your understanding of no matter what you've done, that you are forgiven in his eyes.
Right.
You are perfection to him because he created you.
Right. And I remember that old hymn, I believe Fanny Crosby hymn, Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. And it's so true because no matter how mature, for lack of a better word, you know, how much we grow up in the Lord, we can never escape, and we should never escape, I guess, what the cross has done. You know, that's our starting place, that's our ending point, is the cross of Jesus. And because of what happened, I mean, here, you know, I read it in Colossians earlier. He disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly. Now think about that. Because of the cross, he shamed the devil publicly. I love that. He disarmed them. Took away all the devil's weapons. You know, Betty, what weapon does the devil have? There's only like one or two that he has. And what might those be? Any guesses?
Well, if I had to guess.
Well, yeah, I'm making you guess. Sorry.
Now you're going to shame me on public radio.
Oh, no.
I'm teasing. One of them is condemnation.
Absolutely. That's... And that's
I think that's the biggest one, Pastor, because we haven't come to the realization yet, some of us have not, of who we are in Christ.
Right.
And once we come to that realization and we realize that, you know, it's as easy as turning on a switch of the power that we have available to us. I never knew that power until I started intercessory prayer of what God can do when we're on our knees. But the condemnation thing started with me many years ago. And I'll let Megan see if she can guess the other one because I'm not quite sure. But he uses that quite frequently. He used it against someone I love very dearly of trying to condemn them for what this person thought was wrong, and he used The devil used it to try, and I'm using that word in capital letters or parentheses, whatever you want to say, try to condemn, but the Lord took them, all of their, of the instruments that the devil used, and made it back to give him the glory, because when you face adversity or you face condemnation, you must face it head on mm-hmm. with the blood of Jesus, with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You have that power to overcome that condemnation, and don't let the devil keep you down.
Right, right.
Okay, Megan, what's the other one?
It goes hand in hand with condemnation, and that's his lies.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, that's about the only power he's got left, is the power to lie to us. And I think part of that definitely is condemnation. You know, in Revelation it says, now is the accuser of our brethren thrown down, who accused us before God day and night. You know, so that's just kind of the devil's thing. He wants to accuse us and condemn us, because, you know, if you're feeling condemned, then you're not going to want to work for God. You're not going to want to, you know, be spiritual, because you figure God's up there about ready to smack you over the head because of something that you did. And that's just coming from inside you, you know? And so many times we think we are less than, or because of either, you know, something we've done, who we feel we are, whatever it is. And yet, Betty, you quoted it earlier, John 3:16. For God so loved you, because you're part of the world, God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son. So that when you believe on him, you will have eternal life.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And again, Satan will say, well, you can't do that because you're whatever, or you did this, or you did that. Well, Jesus took it all to the cross. You know, there's not one sin that had ever or would ever occur that did not go to the cross. They've all gone there. And they were all taken care of by the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
So there's nothing that you've done, or even things you don't even know you're going to do yet, that's not already taken care of by Jesus. And that's, wow, you know, that's kind of one of those wow things.
Yeah, it's like, I think that's why you and Pastor have come up with this fantastic series of, you know, the all-out alignment, is that once we realize that who Satan is, what he's trying to do to us, and what he tries to do on a daily basis, is that something good is about to happen. And mm-hmm. once we reach that alignment, once we reach that straight and narrow, that we have the power within us to overcome anything that the enemy has to throw at us, is that we have the power, and that's where we plug into the generator, to Christ, and realize that power is available to us. And I sound like I'm preaching, but it
go for it.
Is that it is imperative that within these next few months, years, we don't know the day that when Jesus is coming back, but Satan is on a plan to bring down as many people as he possibly can. And this is where you, like in Pastor and myself, is that we are trying to enable and empower people to overcome the enemy. And it's through his word, through prayer, through praise. It's so simplistic that sometimes I think, Pastor and Megan, we make it so hard that we beat ourselves up trying to be who God wants us to be, and it's so simplistic. All you have to do is say, hey, you know, even if you can't pray, just say the word Jesus, And he's on the scene. He's there to empower you, to give you the faith that you need to get you to that next step.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Megan, you want to talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think a lot of us are kind of, I don't know, I used to be this way. Like you said earlier, Pastor Jen, is that you know the scripture, you know the Lord, but it's like with me, it took losing Grayson for me to have an awakening. And what I mean by that is that I learned more about the Lord than I thought I learned something extremely valuable, that it's not just me, it's me and him. Because, you know, I grew up going to church with my mom and dad, and grew up in, my gosh, Christian home. And I know my value, I know values, I know how to be respectful. But knowing that you're going to have a child that's going to pass away is something that totally knocked me off of my feet. And I knew that the only person that technically, that quote-unquote, could save me from this situation was the Lord. And after I came home from the hospital, the Lord told me that there was going to be a Lazarus moment. And I thought to myself, oh my gosh, you're going to bring my son back to life? And no, that's not what it was. It was for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Lord wants us all in a situation with him where we know that we're victorious in any situation. And that's what he meant that telling me was I was going to have an awakening, was to learn about who he really is and when what he can do for me if I'll stay close to him and not wander off. And, you know, that's just going back again to going back to the cross. I mean, even for me, that means a lot, because when you go to the cross, you fall to your knees. And that's where a lot of things can take place. Sorry, just Holy Spirit. A lot of things can take place at the foot of the cross, and one of them, the biggest, is forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's so true. And I think one of the hardest things for people to accept, I mean, maybe it's just because we're human, but we figure, I can't just accept God's free gift. I have to do something to earn it. And I'm not talking about surrender. Okay, that's different. But I mean, sometimes we think we have to earn it, earn God's grace, which is impossible. And sometimes we need those moments where God just sets us down, and in our darkest times, you know, that's when we see his light maybe most clearly. Excuse me. I think of, and I know I bring this up a lot, but I'm just such an inspiration. I think of Corrie Ten Boom, who with her sister was in Ravensbrück concentration camp. And Megan, you spoke about forgiveness. She had to forgive her captors because God called her to a ministry to minister to the German people and all the people that had been wounded in World War II. And, you know, she herself had spent time in a concentration camp. And it's just amazing. And the one story about forgiveness, and just, you know, it's one of these things that we think we can never do, is that after the war, Corrie was ministering in Germany. Now, mind you, the Nazis had pretty much obliterated most of her entire family. There were only a few survivors. And she was, of course, imprisoned for hiding Jews in her home. And after the war, she went back to Germany. She was ministering, and she was talking about God's forgiveness and how God's incredible love. And she looks out after the service, you know, looking out, and people are coming up and greeting her. And one of the people that came up and greeted her was one of the guards from Ravensbrück, who had been her guard and had treated her and her sister very badly. But the guard said, you know what, thank you, this is very true, And thank you for telling me that God will forgive even someone like me. And Corey said and the man extended his hand like he wanted to shake her hand. And Corey just stood there because here was somebody who had just horribly mistreated them. And she said, wait a minute, if this is true, if what I just preached is true, I've got to do something. So she told God, she said, I'll move my arm up to shake his, but you're going to have to do the rest. And sure enough, that's what happened. All of a sudden, she said she felt this electric current go through, and she knew God's love for this man, and she was able to forgive him and minister to him because she let God minister through her. And that's what God wants of us, is just us to be committed, surrendered to him, available basically to him to do whatever he's called us to do. And it's not, you know, we've talked this entire time, Betty, Megan, and I, about how it's not a hard thing. It's pretty simple. It's a surrender thing. It's a believing, and it's a surrender. And that brings us to this song by Casting Crowns, another favorite of mine, All You've Ever Wanted.
I just looked up today and realized how far away I am from where you are. You gave me life worth dying for, but between the altar and the door, I bought the lies that promised more. And here I go again. And my good name are just dirty rags that tear and strain to cover all my guilty stains that you already washed away. 'Cause all you been made well. I was fighting battles when you conquered hell. Living free but from a prison cell. Lord, I'll lay it down today. So I'll stop living off of how I feel. Start standing on your truth revealed. Jesus is my strength, my shield. And he will never fail me. 'Cause all you've ever wanted,
oh,
Well, that song pretty much sums up the last hour and 45 minutes, huh? What a great, great song by Casting Crowns. And Betty and Megan, that song does pretty much sum up what we've talked about, you know, about standing on the revealed word and knowing Jesus as our shield. And that is what is so important. And Betty, I think it was you who mentioned it earlier. We don't know when Jesus is going to come back. But we do know in the Bible it says things are not going to get a whole lot, you know, they're not going to get better. They're going to get worse until he does come back. And we have to be ready for that, because enough people are going to be, you know, listening to the lies of the devil and giving in to the condemnation of the devil, that we are promised to shine as lights in that great darkness. And part of being able to do that is giving ourselves, surrendering fully to God with no encumbrances, nothing to stop us from serving him fully in these last days.
I think if we look at the world around us, that right now the story looks pretty grim. Through, you know, the things on television, through social media, whatever there is, it looks like that, you know, we're doomed. One of the things that God conveyed to me several weeks ago is that we have to be tolerant and be faithful and hold fast to the promises of God, because he will never leave us nor forsake us, because he loves us so much. And that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And it's just that one scripture. If people can hold on to that and grasp it and get it deep down into their heart, it's because that's all the Lord wants is our heart.
Mm-hmm.
He wants our hearts to be full of love, forgiveness, where Satan wants to turn that around and leave us with contempt, with hatred and bitterness and anger, all of those things he wants to turn around. We have to be tolerant, and we have to hold fast to God's word and his promises. And there are so many promises in God's word, from the Old Testament, in the New Testament, from the beginning to the end, because God is omnipotent. He is the beginning and the end. And he is to be that to us, in us, and through us. And it's again, I say that word simplistic. It's a tough world that we're living in right now. But with Christ, hold on to that. Hold on to faith. Hold on to what God has given you,
mm-hmm.
what God has put inside of you. Hold on to that and let it grow. Let the living water that lives in you, let it come out. Let it be free-flowing. Let the Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead come to that realization that that power lives in you.
Mm-hmm. Very, very true. And without that, we can't hope to make it. you know, this... I agree, you know, well, Luke chapter 21 says men's hearts will fail them for fear. And if you believe everything you see on Facebook, your heart's pretty much going to fail you for fear, because there's a whole lot of fear out there, you know, and that's from the devil. I mean,
yeah.
You know, fear, intolerance. I mean, it's very frustrating sometimes for me to go on Facebook and look at what some of my former classmates put on there. I mean, it's just like, oh, come on, guys. You know better than that. But it's silliness. And I've actually written on my Facebook page, from the right and the left, it's like they're both pitifully intolerant of each other. And we have, as Christians, we have to be discerning. We have to be careful, because we can fall into that trap. It's easy to believe the lies sometimes. And, you know, Jesus said, because of the rise of lawlessness, the love, the agape of the many, and there, that the word is agape, he's talking about Christians, will grow cold. And that's something we have to avoid at all costs. We have to continue to be on fire with the power and the love and the grace of God, and to keep surrendering ourselves. You know, that song, All You've Ever Wanted is my Heart, that's kind of present imperative. It's a continuing thing, because, you know, we've been, all three of us have been in the Lord long enough to know, yeah, we say we're a living sacrifice, but the one bad thing is that living sacrifice likes to crawl off that altar, you know, and we just have to remind ourselves, sometimes we've got to get back up there. So I want to just pray for our listeners, and then I want to get some final thoughts from both Betty and Megan, but I want to pray for everybody who's listening. And I do pray in the name of Jesus that God would just bless you, that God would work in your lives. And if you don't know Jesus, I pray that you would come to know him, that God will soften your heart, that God will move in your heart by the Holy Spirit, that you will come to believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he died on the cross, that he rose again, and that he is coming back, our victorious King. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just ask your Holy Spirit to move on all of our audience. Father, wherever there's a physical need for healing, that you would just reach down, because you are the Lord who heals us. And we just believe over our audience that you, by your stripes, Lord Jesus, we are healed. Wherever there's hurts and pain, Lord God, you are the healer of that. Wherever there is loss, Lord, I pray, Lord, you would just bring blessing into those areas. Father, we give you glory and honor and praise through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Megan, some final comments?
Well, you know, I think today has been a really great show. It's been really insightful for me because, you know, I've heard Mom talk about going back to the cross, but now it really hits home with me that we all need to be there. We all need to be at the foot of the cross every day so that our hearts are rejuvenated, our hearts are uplifted, that the Lord is there to hold us and to carry us through our toughest and darkest times. And he's also there to carry us every day. I think, you know, even myself, sometimes I get lax, and I don't talk to the Lord like I should. And I know I should, but it's like life sometimes gets in the way and takes over.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I just think it's imperative that all of us let the Lord mold our hearts, because without our hearts, we don't live. And if we don't have our blood pumping, if we don't have the Lord carrying us, who's going to take care of us?
Amen.
And, you know, I just pray that everybody that's heard this show today is getting a drive deep down inside of them to find out what we mean by being at the foot of the cross.
Amen. Amen. Betty, how about you? Final thoughts?
Well, I want to thank you, Pastor Jim, for being available today to be on the radio. I think it means a lot to Pastor Marcia to have a time of rest and a time of relaxation. I think for us and the listeners today, the show meant to me is it's time to know that God means what he says, what he says he's going to do. And I think that he's cutting away some of the rustiness. He's shaping us to be more impervious to his word. He's cutting away some of the junk, so to speak, and laying us open to listen and obey what he wants us to do. He's ever present. He wants us to be closer to him. He wants us basically to be obedient to what his word says and to not be afraid. And again, that word fear comes to mind. And let no condemnation fall upon us this next week. Be close in the word, be in the word, be in prayer, and most of all, give him all the praise and glory.
Amen. Amen. Well, again, I do want to thank all of our listeners through either hearing it live through WTAN 1340 AM or perhaps you were streaming it on the internet, tantalk1340.com, or maybe you'll be hearing it later in the week through Starcom Media. But I do just agree that, just remember, Jesus is for you. God is for you. He's not against you. He's for you. And he gave his son for you.
Amen.
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 And I want to encourage you, maybe something in this show today has moved you. Maybe you gave your life to Jesus. And if you did, please contact me. It's Pastor Jim at bohmglobal.com. Talk to me about it. I'm also available. I love answering questions. So you can certainly give me a buzz. Send me an email. If you have any questions about anything, I'd be more than happy to talk to you about that. Also, remember our prayer line, which Betty and I are a part of. That's prayers@bohmglobal.com. And remember, we're on every week. And if you are in the Tampa Bay area, please join us on Friday nights for the gathering, 6:30, praise and worship. Bring your Bible, and we hope to see you. We hope to see you then. We also don't forget the Go Yard Show on Thursdays, which features Pastor Marcia under her pseudonym Mama Mac, and Angel Falzone, which is an outreach also of Beacon, but it's a counseling show. So we encourage you to listen to that also. I want to thank Betty and Megan for being on with me today. I also want to thank Engineer Pete. He did a great job. So again, we're here every Sunday from 3 until 5 Eastern time. And we just pray a blessing on all our listeners. And remember, it's not far to Jesus.
It's not far.